Welcome to Cosmic Aspirations Podcast, created by the cosmos, narrated by Feva Cristina.
Hello!
Exploring the universe in and of us through a cosmic storytelling of astrology, I want to welcome you to this cheeky journey of sensual shadow play as we claim our liberated authentic expression through expanded pleasure and playful embodiment as a new default for living and loving. Hello, cosmic lovers. It's really good to be back here with you. Thank you for tuning in for another juicy Cosmic Aspirations episode. This one was recorded live in my little bedroom in Bali. And my guest for today is a friend of mine, a beautiful, beautiful soul, Alexandra Marie Wild, who is a women's coach and embodiment movement therapist. She's empowering women to slow down, reclaim their sacred feminine expression, sensuality, and master the art of healing through pleasure. And we do not hold back in this episode. I feel like it's a very personal and very raw for both of us. And we discuss everything about experiencing life through our sensuality, understanding our body, and connecting to life through our sexual and sensual expression. We go deep and far, touching upon orgasms, self-pleasure, all of the good censored topics that social media platforms would not want us to speak, but here we are, able to really, bring these conversations that are essentially here to empower us and connect us with our truth. And with that, you know, a lot of different emotions can come up. And this is what we also touch upon, you know, the anger, shame, and guilt that either come up during sex, but it can also be great driving forces, catalysts, and also tools of awakening for us. I am aware that this can be a taboo topic for some people, a bit of a sensitive one, especially, you know, when we talk about certain painful experiences or the slut era, the celibacy era. And I just want to invite you to listen to your body, observe what is happening within. If something is triggering, you can always pause, take a few deep breaths, maybe tap, shake some energy, and stay present with your experience, knowing that it is perfectly valid. And it's a huge topic. It's such a core part of our humanity, our human expression. And I feel like these conversations can open beautiful portals for us to move into deeper liberation of all of the shitty programming that we have accumulated around sexuality that is such a power path. So that being said, you know, I love to bring astrology into all of my conversations and all of life, let's say. But this one is special because we dive deep into the pleasure astrology, or so-called tantric astrology, just because it brings more attention and it's a little bit of a buzzword and, you know, it kind of catches people's attention. And if you are curious what tantric astrology is, then this is your invitation to create a sacred space where you can really practice listening, and through this listening, a beautiful contemplation arises, noticing how your inner world interacts with what we're discussing. And as always, if you want to reach out afterwards and let us know what came up for you, if you have any personal stories that you would like to share, know that we are here for it. Even though this is like an interesting format of podcasting, you never really know who's truly listening. So as a Libra, I would love to know when you do. So don't be shy to get in touch, to share it with your friendos, with your community. And I want to say that a big part of my pleasure, liberation, and expansion has been through reading books, witnessing other people's pleasure journey, listening to a bunch of podcasts. And actually, I'm going to say a big part of my orgasmic ability, plus the ability to orgasm, two different things, has been by listening to stories of other people having epic orgasms, so that the mind was able to grasp that, oh, this is actually possible for me. So do not underestimate the power of these little conversations. And without further ado, let's get orgasmic. Hello, welcome to the Bali studio, aka my bedroom. Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Welcome to Cosmic Exploration. So good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Alex, we are here in Bali recording this live pleasure astrology session for a special reason, and that is that's in the realms, in the playground of what you do, sensuality, sexuality, mm-hmm. feminine embodiment. And I would love to hear it from you. What is the playground where your soul feels the most impactful, purposeful, joyful, pleasurable in?
Thank you, Faiva. So I am an embodiment coach for women, and I specialize in helping women with sensuality, with connecting more with their sensuality, which is essentially connecting more with their femininity. I feel like it's been kind of the biggest journey for me, and I feel like as women, this is really where we kind of find and harness our power through connecting to our sexuality, through connecting to our sensuality. And I feel like in spirituality, I'm like rhyming now, in spirituality, it's like the missing key or the missing door, the missing key and the missing door. It's the one that we don't often explore. And I think, yeah, for women, it's like the main thing.
And why do you think that is so? Why do you feel like sensuality is that missing key?
Because sensuality is essentially what connects us with life and connects us with our own life, connects us with our body. Mm-hmm. I feel like for women, if you are not expressing yourself sensually and experiencing life sensually, then it's really difficult to actually understand your body. It's difficult to understand how you're feeling. It's difficult to understand your emotions and also process them as well. It's how we experience life.
Yeah,
as women.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot what the question was, but yeah, hopefully that answers it.
Yeah, no, but that's exactly it. And not necessarily here to trash patriarchy. I think that's like getting a little bit old, because in a way, you know, it's a beautiful fusion of the masculine, the feminine that we're kind of creating mm-hmm. in today's world and society where we're striving for.
Yes.
And at the same time, you know, it was a tool of repression, cutting women off of their sensuality, their sexuality, their bodies, making them a fucking baby machine.
Yes.
Which beautiful aspect of the female experience, if you choose so with your free will, if you choose so. And so in a way, yeah, this whole sexual revolution with the feminine has been gaining that power back.
Uh-huh.
And I just wonder how that has been for you.
Well, yes, I totally agree. One of the reasons that I was so attracted to this kind of work, because I feel like it's been the biggest kind of, well, it's been the most impactful on me in my life is being comfortable expressing myself sexually and being seen as a sexual person. And, you know, expressing my sensuality through my body, I feel like for me, I went through a stage where I was very, very like hypersexual, where I think a lot of women go through this when you're younger and you're exploring, and it's like, yeah, you just sleep with everyone.
Sacred sluts.
Secret slut. Yeah. I was definitely, I don't know if you'd call it sacred, but I was definitely a slut.
That's embraced too.
But yeah, we can call it a sacred slut. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, I feel like it's a rite of passage that we all have to kind of go through this, and like it shouldn't be shamed. It's like we're just exploring what we like and getting to know what we like. And, you know, to go off kind of off on a tangent a little bit, I think it's really difficult to understand, you know, what your own boundaries are and what your own desires are, unless you kind of do push the limits a little bit and you do kind of go beyond your own boundaries a little bit sexually, because so you can then like, oh, that was a little bit too far, I can come back. So yeah, so I kind of did all of that, and then I kind of went through a period of, and I've been through several periods of life where I've kind of been not like deliberately celibate, but where I just haven't really wanted to be with anyone sexually. And it's been like, I would say it was very like, I definitely say like now, I mean, I've skipped quite a chunk, but I definitely say like now I'm very much in the space where I know how to satisfy myself, and I don't feel the need to be with someone just to be validated anymore, that I am sexy, that I am beautiful. So it's for me to want to be with someone, like there has to be a real connection there. So I feel like I've gone like really far one way and then really far the other way, which I needed to then kind of coming back and having more of a balance. Yeah.
I bet, like a good Libra
Yeah.
rising that you are,
Yeah.
I think that's like sometimes a misconception about the Libra archetype, about like, oh, Libra is all about balance and harmony. But baby, Libra is here to learn balance and harmony, not be naturally born with that.
Yes.
And you know, that balance and harmony, like you said, is often experienced through extremes. This is
Yes.
what I like to present to the Libra archetype often. Beautiful, yeah. And I love how you spoke about like this. Why do we desire sex and sexuality? Why do we want intimacy with others? Sure, we can argue, oh, it's like a natural part of being a human. And at
Yes.
the same time, when you were like, oh, I had this hypersexual period of my life,
Yes.
I was recently reflecting on that on another podcast. Where I was interviewed about my Vipassana experience.
Yes.
And I was explaining how most of the time my mind was thinking about sex and sexuality and pleasure and sensuality. And like, yeah, it's such a core part of who I am as well.
Yes.
Or as an embodied being, I feel like we all are to some extent. Again, depending on different factors of how much meaning we attach to it, what is the conditioning behind it, etc. But really recognizing how at the core of that, it was really that desire to merge, that
Yes.
desire to merge with the divine, with God itself,
Yes.
not even to another to get validation.
Yes.
However, in the past, I see how when I thought I was having the best sex life ever, it was actually me sourcing sex to feel loved.
To feel that, yeah, I actually wanted to touch on that, and you kind of read my mind. I was just thinking, okay, this is what I want to talk about as well. You know, one of the reasons, okay, fine, I was exploring, but there was also this kind of need to be, yeah, it comes down to love, you know, and not just loved in general. It was like being loved by the masculine and being seen by the masculine, being seen by men, because I really wasn't seen by my father or my stepfather. So it was just like this, yeah, this kind of, yeah, I guess like need for love. And you, yeah, it's never the right way to go about it. You end up re kind of traumatizing yourself, I guess.
Yes.
But I feel like the antidote is in the poison. Like sometimes you just need to go through hard. You do need to go through these kind of things to then like realize, okay, this isn't the way. And I think for some people, it has to be a little bit more like aggressive, maybe, than others to find the way. And I know definitely for me, I'm very much like, I don't know. I don't know if it's because like Pluto is in my first house. Feel like I'm very much, I just make a decision and it's like, right, that's it, we're going for it, and then we pick up the pieces later.
Well, I would expect you to say something like that. Like, sometimes you've got to put a hard work and go through the hard challenges. Having so many planets in Capricorn, which is that sign that is like, okay, we're gonna not only walk through, we're just gonna like bang head through and like put the hard work and go through the delays and the challenges. And yeah, this Saturn in your chart brings that seriousness of like, okay, we're gonna have to mature from the core because it's actually sitting in your fourth house. Now, I would love to start weaving even more astrology into this and then bring the stories that are alive for you. There are so many pieces that I would love to go into. And this Capricorn is just offering itself. You're a Capricorn sun, and then you also have Capricorn moon. So basically, your path of becoming, as well as the way that you emotionally relate to the world, comes through this Capricorn lens, which can be often misunderstood in a way that it's seen as like it's a serious one, hardworking, structures, kind of like cold, unemotional. But actually, it's a seahorse. No, it's a sea goat.
Seagoat.
Meaning, it is connected to the waters as well as the earth. So it's literally a definition of embodiment of our emotions in a way, just learning how to work with them in a purposeful, grounded, practical, applicable way so that it can take us where we're going. Because Capricorn energy in you is so much about the purpose, about wanting to be recognized for that which your soul came here to express and embody and impact the world. This is the energy that wants to look at, how can I take what I'm learning about me at my core, about my inner world, which is your fourth house, Capricorn? Right now, I'm looking at your whole house system. In Placidus, it might be a little bit different, but since you're already gone through your Saturn return, I like to look at the whole house because I feel like it penetrates a little deeper. It already comes with a layer of maturity. Yeah. And then you also have your daddy Saturn conjunct your moon. So I can imagine like that emotional relating to the world, perhaps seeking that recognition for who you are at the core and what you came here to do, while being maybe slightly rebellious with the Uran here, as well as Neptune, that gives that mysticism, that deep, intuitive, emotional wisdom, but being boxed in a way. And I wonder what was your experience, like the way that you were taught to relate to your emotionality, to your sensuality, the way that you embodied your feminine growing up, and the way that you were trying to make sense and make it kind of practical, productive, patriarchal almost.
So if I just like sink into like a feeling of my childhood and growing up, it was very just chaotic. So it was very difficult in moments, but it was just this feeling of never really being understood by anyone. And because I was an only child as well, so I kind of, I don't know, I felt like, I think I was like quite not introverted, but I don't know. I feel like the way that I've always related to the world has always been slightly different. And I feel like it's only now, recently, I would say in the last few years that I've really started to kind of find people that are just like me. Me being more drawn towards being sensual and experiencing sensuality and sexuality through my body is because there's a side of me that has a tendency to really close off and really meet life with force. And there's a real kind of like heaviness around, and you can see this from my chart with all the Capricorn and the Capricorn and Saturn. Like, so there is this like strong like energy about me, and I feel like the reason that I gravitate more towards sensuality and more towards kind of movement and everything, this, you know, sensory stuff in general, is because it helps me to soften more into my feminine. So that's my, like, personally.
And I understand there are these parts in your chart that can speak of that masculine force that you kind of mentioned. And I know a little bit about your background of like being working in the fashion industry, working in Dubai, and like high executing jobs and like boom, boom, boom kind of career driven, right? And that is this Capricorn energy that's here to like, I'm here to do shit. And then your Mars in Aries is like full on force. And also being manifesting generator, that's like, boom, 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 let's go. I get to skip these steps. And so I'm kind of wondering, what was that transition of like being deeply immersed in the modern world of doing and driving and building a career to then waking up to the fact that, hey, this is not actually serving me anymore?
So I would stay in a job for like a year and a bit, maybe maximum. And then I would staying in the same industry. I would then go to, for instance, I go to another brand or another, I go to another brand and I'd be like, this is going to be better. This is a better luxury brand to go and work for and blah, blah, blah. And then I was just started to like look around and I was like, okay, I can't see myself in that position with the person above me. I can't see myself in the position of the person above that person. And I just noticed like everything that everyone's getting excited about around me, and the same, it was like I wasn't getting excited about. It was like the same kind of mundane conversations every day, and everything was just like lacking depth. Like I felt just completely just numb, really, to be honest. And I went to a yoga class for the first time in Dubai, and I feel like, yeah, just from that moment, I mean, I know it sounds so like cheesy, but I feel like from that moment, that's when my kind of journey and my transition started. I mean, I literally within, you know, a few months of doing yoga, I did a yoga teacher training, and then I just started teaching straight away.
Full in.
I mean, I'd hardly been practicing yoga for that long. It was just like the universe was just like fully backing me. You can do this. And it was just, it was not easy. And I worked really, really hard and I was teaching loads and loads and loads, but it was easy for me to get work. So yeah, so I started to teach, and then I, after around 3 years of teaching in Dubai, I ended up moving to Bali. And then I started to teach a little bit here. But then, yeah, I did a sacred sexuality training. And then I did a few kind of ISTA trainings as well. And I feel like that just opened up a whole new world for me. It's very weird because I feel like yoga is supposed to kind of bring you into your body. And it did to begin with. But then I feel like it kind of just numbed me in a sense. And I didn't actually realize this until I started to explore my sexuality again. And then it was like, whoa, okay, this is spiritual.
Like, can you expand on this a little bit? Because I kind of feel what you're saying from a sense of yoga is quite a masculine practice, right? It has a structure. It's kind of repetitive. It has this almost robotic movement sometimes. I wonder how that was for you.
When I really got into yoga, I was practicing Ashtanga and like classic Capricorn. I was like, right, I'm gonna do and I'm Pitta as well, so it was like, right, I'm gonna go and do the hardest one, you know, like give me the hardest type of yoga. So I'd be there at like 5 in the morning, sometimes 4 in the morning. I'd get up at the Mysore studio in Dubai and I'd go and practice before I'd start teaching. Like, I was so disciplined.
What was driving you at the time to go and do all of these things, even with like the sacred sexuality courses? Because I know you just went like bang in.
To feel alive, to feel connected to myself, and ultimately love. To feel love. Yeah. And I was...
Well, isn't that the driving force for everything? We just sometimes mistaken it for the outside and the structures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm going to say something that's just coming through and I don't know why. I really feel like with Ashtanga, what was driving me to be that harsh and kind of masculine with my practice... Mm-hmm. was anger. And it's interesting because it's a very masculine practice and I had so much anger towards the masculine.
Wow.
And then I'm like using it, I don't know, this is just coming through now, but I don't know if
yeah that makes sense.
I'm wondering if that's been my, I feel like I released a lot of that anger through exploring my own sexuality.
You know, this is where I'm looking at your Mars in Aries,
okay.
which is at its home sign. So Mars, that sacred masculine in astrology,
yes.
is really potent in your chart. It's at, yeah, it's strong in Aries. And Mars, as well as Aries, are connected to our expression of anger. So you saying that a lot of it was perhaps, yes, driven with that passion for love and wanting to feel connected, but it's also literally Mars, the embodiment in Aries, right? It's the self, it's the body that is fueled by the raw primal emotions of just like, I need to express that.
Yeah.
But it's also in your seventh house of intimate relationships.
Yes.
So, you know, intimate relationships for me, seven house is even more of a container of a relationship. So you actually finding a relationship to something where this was a practice that was connecting you intimately to yourself to be able to express or feel that anger, even though perhaps it wasn't the most conscious at the time yet, was the doorway.
Yes.
And this is where I feel like really that teaching comes through, that nothing that we do is a mistake.
Yes.
Like everything is perfectly chosen and calculated by our soul. Even when we feel like we're going into like shitty holes, and you know, I had years of taking drugs and, you know, partying like crazy and etc. But like, do I see that as a mistake? No. Like it was a very important expression of that. And yeah, it's beautiful to see how that was in a way the mind, the ego that always just tries to protect us.
Yes.
In this sense, you going into deep down into a practice that perhaps was not serving you fully, but it was bridging you through that service.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there anything you want to add?
I
could go on.
You could go on.
Right. So I would actually love to take this pleasure astrology deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And say that for me, pleasure astrology is basically like any other reflection of life. I tend to say that I do tantric astrology, which for me is really centered in embodiment, in embracing the full spectrum of life, all there is, all that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And pleasure for me is central here, because for me, you know, as human beings on this plane, pleasure is what really makes us, connects us to that flesh, connects us to our humanness, for me personally. And so in pleasure astrology, we're gonna look at your whole chart. Everything is interconnected, but the focus would kind of be on the main houses, the main angular houses, the first, fourth, seventh, and the tenth. But even more so, the fifth and the eighth.
Okay.
So the first house is about your kind of essence of the manual, the energy that you bring into all situations in life,
yes,
the lens through which you experience the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where your Libra lies. And
Okay.
so in a way, you seek beauty.
Mm-hmm.
This is where that sensuality, because Libra is ruled by Venus, the planet of love and affection.
Yes.
Like it's that natural lens when you enter the room that's like, oh, this is beautiful. Oh, this feels right. Even though Libra is more of a mental processing sign that wants to understand and look through all of the perspectives, it is still looking for what is the connector of it all? Where is the harmony between all of the pieces that you are kind of inclined to look at right
Yes.
away? And this is where you look at life through the lens of relationships. Like everything is a relationship. And your Venus, the ruler of your ascendant, is in Sagittarius. And so the relationships for you would really be the source of learning, of making meaning about
Yes.
life, feeling the truth, chasing the truth, learning about yourself,
Yes.
and also bringing that into your connections, always wanting to really understand into the depths, and sometimes also understand in like an edgy, outspoken, playful way with Sagittarius. It's like truth, philosophy, but in a party way. You know, it's like bringing that expansive feeling into everything that you do.
Yes.
And I wonder how you see that play out in your life and in your work.
If something doesn't feel pleasurable for me, anything, then I kind of just bulldoze through it and push it aside in quite a dramatic way. I feel like sometimes I kind of to the point where I can kind of shock people. I think like, oh my God, what's she doing now? But I'm very much like, I when I make a decision, I make it very instantly, and it can be very reactive and it can be very sudden, but it's very like solid. There's no wavering. It's like, no, I'm not doing this, or yes, I'm doing this. There's no like ifs or buts. And that's normally centered, but that's usually driven by seeking pleasure and seeking this feeling of kind of connectedness and oneness. And maybe pleasure is not the right, I think, to go a little bit broader than that. Seeking just feeling, like feeling something. If there's no depth in something and I feel like it's kind of like, you know, where are the roots? Like, where are we going here? I cannot. And I feel like the older that I'm getting as well, the more I'm just like, I cannot settle for anything that's just like mediocre. Like it needs to be raw and deep and raw. I need to like really feel it. And and that, you know, I feel like having that kind of outlook on life is taken me to where I am now, and just taken me on this path that perhaps is not everyone always understands.
Yeah.
I just seek truth. I seek truth and I seek truth in everything, and I will go wherever that is. And if it's not there, then I don't really have the patience or the time for it.
Yeah, because this Venus in Sagittarius also seeks freedom through that expression and experience of truth. And it's quite an independent one.
Yeah.
That's like, you know what? Like, if this is not giving me the satisfaction that, you know, I know is possible, because with Sagittarius, it's also that higher knowledge of like being connected to the divine, to the higher teachings. This is where you would be interested in sacred sexuality and, you know, even like old Vedic philosophies and Taoism and, you know, the traditions of the ancients that were so much more naturally connected to this life force that had so many less distractions also, and were attuned and in connection with nature. So there's like this natural understanding in you of that.
I feel like there is so much magic in life. There's so much magic to be seen, to be found, and to be felt. And But then on the flip side, it's, you know, in Bali, it's very easy to access. But I feel like the way that the world is, and I know a lot of people feel like this, the way the world is set up, it's just like, we don't, it's very hard to often find that magic daily.
You know, there are so many distractions that it sometimes takes a practice and that deconditioning, reconditioning to be able to recognize magic in the world that is trying to impose so many narratives onto us, even like the global warming, even though this is something that I care so deeply about, constantly being in the statistics of how badly the world is doing, is it actually helping me? Us, or is it just creating that state of fear and urgency? And even though I do think in a way it is urgent, but that's not the space where I want to act from, right? And so what is that practice of seeing magic, bringing magic and beauty into everything, even the painful? Because, you know, when we go into this like sexual awakening and now I'm gonna play with my pleasure and invite more pleasure into my body, and the first thing that happens is like, boom, all of the places where you don't feel pleasure, all of the blocks, the insecurities, the doubts that are blocking you from that. And if we're not able to go through that threshold, we're not going to, you know, what is the practice that we can bring into those moments? And I wonder how you approach those moments, that shadows that come on the path of opening up and awakening and connecting to the body and the insecurities around the body image and so on that so many of us experience.
So I think like the first, the simple thing to look at is like everything is polarity, right? So everything has its exact opposite. One cannot exist without the other. So if you look at like pleasure and pain, for instance, it's like, what is the point where pleasure meets pain, and what is the point where pain meets pleasure? They're both sides of the same coin. So if you're not going to allow yourself to experience pain, then you're literally just limiting the amount of pleasure that you can receive. And it sounds like a really simple thing, but actually, you know, behind like the depths of that is actually there's a lot in that, and having that, you know, internal click of like, okay, like actually this is beautiful to experience this sadness or this pain or this rage. My personal journey has been with embodying my rage and embodying my anger, and obviously I do have that fire with that Aries, with that Mars in Aries. There is that kind of passion and fire there, and I think, well, not I think, I know, because of the work that I've done around it. You know, my dad was very aggressive. And when I was younger, if I ever kind of lost my temper, I would always, and get angry, I would always go to my mom, oh God, am I like my dad? And I'd be just so paranoid, and I'd feel so much shame every time I lost my temper, every time I got angry. And obviously, as a result of that, I would then be even more angry. So I feel like, you know, that was my biggest thing is kind of expressing my anger and feeling my anger and seeing it as not like this aggressive, masculine, just horrible, like, aggressive, unhealthy, masculine trait that I had inside me. It was just like, it just needed room to be seen and be embodied and be expressed. That's been one of the big gateways to me receiving more pleasure. And it's expressing my anger, you know, using different like emotional release tools. Like maybe that's like screaming into a pillow or like punching a pillow or just being like, fuck you for no reason. It's just like, I just want to do that, you know, and just like, or maybe it's like during a self-pleasure practice, you know, getting my paddle out and like, hitting myself, you know, or like scratching myself, or like, you know, just like really, especially in like self-pleasure as well, like really like embodying that rage sometimes and just like almost like scaring yourself a bit.
Wow.
It's kind of hot.
It's kind of hot. And it's that sacred feminine rage that I feel. And so often in the world of sexuality and sensuality on Instagram now, right? Like, how does the feminine expression look like? And it's like, oh, I'm going to run myself a bath and then put some flowers onto me and burn some shit up that smells really nice and put essential, you know, the drill, right? But actually, what is the feminine? You know, the feminine is like the thousands of faces of Shakti that just like goes in all direction. Yes, this beautiful, sensual, dense, half naked in front of the camera. Fuck yes, love it. And this is just like a little fragment.
Exactly.
The face of like the Kali, right? The dark feminine.
Yes.
Or like in astrology, we look at the Black Moon Lilith. And for you, the Black Moon Lilith is actually in the 12th house of Virgo.
Okay.
That is like perhaps being a bit, not, I don't want to say tried to be tamed, but it was coming from a very unconscious side, almost like karmic in the 12th house, coming from this, with this past life rage, where perhaps she needed to be tamed and behave and be very practical and not allow the fullness of her emotions to come alert. And then having a lot of anxiety and a lot of like perfectionistic ideas around it, because it's in Virgo.
Yes.
A lot of like body issues as well, of like the limitations of the body showing up, and then being like, wait, I'm like here to reclaim everything that has been stored in the unconscious.
I feel like this is a problem in the world at the moment. And it is, women are scared of their power. They're scared of seeing their power, and they feel like, I'm not saying every woman, but I know like this has been my journey. It's, and there's been certain points and that in my life where I've like really witnessed and I've seen my power and I've been like, whoa, fuck, what was that? And there was one, I've got to say this story because it's so impactful. Yeah. And it's like, I saw myself for the first time. So I've struggled with my sleep for years. I won't go into too much of a backstory with that, but I basically couldn't sleep this one night and I'd been on my own for a few months. And I was just so like, oh, frustrated and angry in a lot of ways. And anyway, so I got out of bed and went into the bathroom and I just stood in the mirror, but it was like, I was staring at myself in my eyes, like screaming. And it was just like, the rage and the power behind that rage that came out when I was I didn't even look like me. It was literally
ancient.
It was ancient. It was a god. Like I saw a goddess. I saw this just like pure, like primal, animal, wild, ancient beast. But it was, oh my God, I'm going to chill saying this. But it was like, wow. Like, fuck, you're powerful. But then after seeing that, it was like a retraction. Like I was scared of that. I was like, whoa, what is that?
So how do you navigate when there is this expansion that happens? You allow more pleasure in, you feel your power, things are moving in your life. And then this like either fear of responsibility or fear of your power or whatever it is that comes out to be cleared. And as we open up more, how do you navigate through that? It's kind of like in you, what you said in like embodiment, right? Feeling the emotions, giving them space. Are there any other tools that you use that allow you to anchor in this expansion of your capacity?
Okay. So for me, if something, I mean, it's taken me a while to get to this point, but if something triggers me or something makes me feel uncomfortable or makes me feel vulnerable, I will generally go more towards that thing. Okay. So if something makes me angry, I will go more, I will just dive more and more.
That Mars in Aries, they're just like, let's go, penetrate, fire.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's fuck the world. Fuck everyone. I'm joking. Okay, so how do I, well, for me, I embody it. So I embody how I'm feeling, like more and more. Yes, I have days where it's like no, I try to ignore it. And it's like, I can't deal with this. Of course, like I'm a human being.
Yeah,
like
that's
we
okay,
can't
right?
be, yeah, like we can't be perfectly embodied all the time, you know? We're still living this human experience. But yeah, more so, I just try and be with it. If I'm sad, I allow myself to be sad. And I allow myself to be, you know what, I'm feeling sad. I'm just going to be sad for a few days and that's fine. I feel like it's a lot more easier to be like that in Bali, you know, like respectfully, because a lot of people here are like that. You know? I feel like we all just counsel each other pretty much all the time. I know it's not as easy in the Western world, but
it's a community.
Yeah, it's a community. But I think just, you know what? Show the world who you are. Be comfortable in being exactly who you are in every moment. And don't worry so much about what everyone else thinks. Allow the world to adjust to you rather than you trying to adjust to the world. I'm sure that's a quote by someone or a meme, but it's a quote made into a meme, but it's so true. It's just like, just the right people will find you when you, the right situations, everything will find you when you are fully anchored in your authenticity and you're expressing yourself from that deep place of who you really are. And there might be a period when you really decide to do that, that there's a period where you're alone and where it feels like your whole world is crumbling around you. No one gets me, nothing's working, blah, blah, blah. But that's just this kind of like void. This like you're going through this death process and you're kind of like going into this little cocoon. So then you can be rebirthed into this upgraded, I guess, version of you. Well, not even upgraded. It's just like you're literally just like a snake, like shedding its skin. It's just like you're, you know, there's more layers that are peeling off so you can be your true self. So, and I think this is, you know, one of the reasons why people kind of get to the edge a little bit, like the edge of the table, and they're going to jump and they peek over the edge and they're just about to do it, but then they retract a little bit because it's like, oh, but my whole world's going to crumble and I'll be all alone. And that's, yeah,
not everyone has Mars in Aries.
and that's okay.
Yeah, beautiful. I feel like that's really what this journey is all about. But I really like how you demonstrated from like, okay, you know yourself, you show yourself, and then you also shed yourself. How there's like this constant cycle of, but when do we actually know ourselves? Like the question that arose when you were saying that, it's like, this is beautiful. And what about when we don't know who we are? What about when we want to show ourselves, but like, what is that?
Mm-hmm. So we're changing every second. So it's to know yourself is to really open your body, understand your body. The more that you work with the body, the more that you start to understand the body more. And I feel like once you start to understand the body more, then you start to know yourself. And yeah, we're constantly evolving. So it's just bringing life. I mean, just simply, it's just bringing life to whatever you are feeling and whatever is alive for you in that particular moment.
Yeah, and this is basically the whole deconditioning that is gone, like that is demonstrated through the human design experiment, which is truly about the embodiment and unlocking this wisdom in the body so that we can kind of the most easily flow through the journey that astrology, the story of the soul kind of speaks through. And it's funny because yesterday my client asked me, how do I know what is mine and what is not mine? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're like, who am I? Is that truly me or this like what I've been told that I should be? And this is where astrology can really beautifully kind of reflect those stories back to us so that we can bring them into the body and see how they want to play out. Do they feel right? Do they not feel right? Does it feel like contraction or an expansion? Whatever it is, if it's the contraction, that's not necessarily the proof that this is not right for you. It might be that there's something deeper there. And so this curiosity of the body that is really that compass for everything is the key. And this is why I feel like the work that you're doing with women, really guiding them back into their sensual embodied power, is so crucial.
Thank you.
And I love that we are waking up to it in like much more global way. So I'm going to roast you a little bit more now on a speed kind of a track with your pleasure astrology. And please feel free to anytime add anything of how does that feel? Because whenever I'm doing these readings, it's never me telling the truth. It is basically looking at different aspects of the story, different possibilities. There are like millions of different plots that are being spoken through your chart. And I love combining it with Akashic Records, because then we actually tune into, let's say, your North Node in Pisces, which is really connecting you here to embrace the unknown, to go deep into the territories that perhaps feel uncomfortable because they're in the unconscious, to embrace that deep longing that you have for merging rather than trying to micromanage the universe and trying to make sense of everything. And like, this is even like, embodiment as the bridge into dissolution is what your path is, in a way. The dissolution of like, I'm doing the embodiment so that I can not even transcend the body. Like, the body is the vehicle of that transcendence and a part of it. But it's so that I can feel God and the universe inside of me. That's one of your life. Like, that's your life path, in a way, with the North Node here. An ongoing journey. Is there anything you would like to add to that?
Not yet.
But it's like I went into the story of it, but it's kind of you then taking that story in and seeing, how does that ring true? Where is that guiding you? What is that calling you towards? How does this want to be expressed through you uniquely? And with Akashic Records, we're going to tune into, you know, your specific planet that comes with its own karmic imprint that is going to work differently than someone else's that has the same position, for example. But today we're not going that deep. Today, with pleasure astrology, I would really like to focus especially on the fifth and the eighth house. Because the fifth house is going to be the house of pleasure, the house of joy and excitement. And it's more about the pleasure that you experience with yourself. The pleasure that you experience through your creative, authentic expression. It is where Leo lives. And so it is the house that connects you to your heart. What is that true essence of you that is here to just love, and love with life, and love with your body, and love with every little crevice of your being? This is the fifth house. And it's interesting because for you, it's in Aquarius. And you said before that you always felt a little bit different. And this is where it could show, like, this is the house of the inner child too. And Aquarius is that unique one, the one that's like always a little bit ahead of the time, that is attuned to the higher mind, that is attuned to bigger processes and the higher vision. It's always kind of, it's also, it comes with a little bit of that rebellion inside of you. And so you're going to have your unique ways of experiencing joy and pleasure, and perhaps ways that are not always going to be understood, but it's going to be carving the way, carving the path, showing us what else is possible. Where are we moving through this beautiful practice and embodiment of self-love? And it's also coming through the filter of the mind, because your Mercury is here.
Yes.
And this is how you think about pleasure. You know, first it's about understanding your pleasure,
mm-hmm.
understanding where the patterns are coming from,
yeah.
what you like, what your inner child wants to express and how and where this is coming from. It's
mm-hmm.
like, what bigger processes is this connected to?
Mm-hmm.
And through that understanding, connecting with like-minded people, attracting your tribe, this is where your creative expression truly flourishes.
Yes.
When you get to be a part of a movement, a part of something
yes.
bigger, where you get to be that individual in your authenticity,
mm-hmm.
but doing something with a purpose and a cause
yes.
that's impacting many.
Yes.
I wonder how this is landing.
Yes. No, I totally agree. I really have, yeah. I just, yeah, I have a desire to make an impact, to help, to be useful, you know? I mean, I know that's very vague, but
yeah, it's actually makes perfect sense to me to say to be useful because
yes.
of all of your Capricorn stuff there.
Yeah.
But it's really, you know, this is like it's rooted in that desire to contribute, to make a change from what I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm.
And you make the greatest change when you are in your pleasure and your
yes.
joy.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah, like... yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Okay. Yeah, you helped me there. Yeah. So I impact people the most, obviously, when I'm in my pleasure. And when I'm in my pleasure, it's when I am creating.
Yes.
Yes. When I'm creating... This is, I basically, I don't know if this is to do with like Pluto first house or whatever, but all I want to do is just create, like nothing else. When it gets to the point where it's like, okay, you've created this. Now it's like, now let's do all the processy things and we need to put it out and it needs to reach people. I'm like, no, I just want to make things look pretty.
Well, I'm going to call upon your feminine here, really,
okay.
right? The Shakti that's constantly birthing in creative expression.
Yes.
That just shows how beautifully embodied you are in your feminine.
Thank you.
But also in your human design, you have a full channel from gate one to gate eight that is connecting. Like the gate one is literally the channel of creation,
mm-hmm.
of creative expression from your G center,
okay.
creating from that core of who you are and how you experience love.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you have the whole channel, it's like it wants to be shared in your throat center. It wants to be spoken out into existence, manifest into the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. But it's also that birthing process, because so much Capricorn in the fourth house, which is that almost like the womb coming from the core of you,
mm-hmm.
it wants to brew on the inside,
yes,
but then kind of grow from the core of you. I would imagine that the things that you do, you first do for yourself,
yes,
and then from there it naturally arises and wants to be shared with others,
yes.
Also because of your Libra ascendant, that
yeah.
It's literally here to connect and bounce and share ideas,
yes.
And something that is that you feel you benefit from, anchoring into that,
yes,
mastering it for yourself,
yes,
and then allowing it to naturally spill over, still kind of with that essence of I am creating this for myself, and because that is benefiting me, I know this is going to benefit so many others too.
Yes.
And it's almost like doing it for the lineage,
yes.
With Capricorn fourth house. This is like creating, this is stepping into that inner authority.
Yeah.
This is like recognizing yourself as that authority of your body.
Yes.
And reminding others that you have,
yes,
that key too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and the ruler of that Aquarius is also in your Capricorn fourth house. So it's literally about creating containers, creating new structures. So often, you know, Capricorn is seen as this traditional sign, but most of the Capricorns that I meet are pretty freaky. And this is also that Capricorn essence, you know, when we talk about kings, it's more about the eighth house, which is the deeper sense of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But with the fifth house, you know, this is about looking for the unconventional, breaking out of the norm, doing the things that you're told that you should not be doing, you know, with your pleasure, with your creative expression. Okay. It drives you when you get to fuck the system, you said before, right? Like, yes. Let's fuck the world. It's like, yeah, baby, you're here to fuck it consciously in ways that creates more freedom, liberation, and authenticity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Cut through the bullshit.
Cut through the bullshit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where you lead with your pleasure. Mm-hmm. This is where your pleasure in Aquarius, fifth house, is revolutionary.
Okay.
And you're here to speak about it. You're here to share it. Okay. This Mercury over here wants to express,
mm-hmm.
wants to speak it on a big scale. Now, in the eighth house, we have a slightly different story. The eighth house is that deeper sense of merging with others. This is where we share our sexuality, mm-hmm. our sexual expression. This is where we come together with others within, in intimacy.
Yes.
This is where, you know, the more occult practices, the mysterious, the transformative part of sex
mm-hmm.
Comes through.
Yes.
The power of sexuality that is, like we talked before, on one hand, very inspiring and empowering. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, it can be threatening. It can be abusing.
Yes.
When not used in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So before I kind of go deeper into your chart here, I would definitely love to bring that aspect of the sexuality and power that can be misusing.
Yes.
And at the same time, we're not going too deep into this right now, but what I would love to invite you into is the transformative power of sexuality. Just noticing kind of how that sexual empowerment has transformed you and your life.
Okay, so I'm not really sure if this is what you're asking me, but this is the first thing that's coming to mind. I feel like a lot of the times we end up traumatizing or re-traumatizing ourselves because we are so worried about letting the other person down.
Mm.
Or upsetting the other person, or not being a good enough lover, mm. or, you know, performing basically.
Yes.
The performance aspect of sex. And I feel like when we go into that kind of performing role, we not only come out of our bodies, we come out of our bodies. So then it becomes so much easier for us to overstep boundaries that we didn't even realize we were overstepping. And also, you know, still on the flip side, it's like we're overstepping our own boundaries knowingly because we're too worried about what the other person will think. We're too worried about trying to please the other person. So on the topic that it's so very big what you're talking about, but that's kind of what I feel like I wanted to mention with that. The other thing that was coming through for me as well is like sexuality is, sex is power, right? This energy is like pure power.
Mm.
And people unfortunately abuse that power. They use, yeah, I guess like, it's probably not the right word to say. I'm going to say it anyway. People use like sex as a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
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 Sounds very aggressive to say it like that, but I mean, that's what's here. So I'm just going to say it.
Weapon for what?
For control.
Hmm.
For dominance. I keep coming back to a situation that happened to me and I wasn't sure whether to talk about it because I wonder whether the person will listen, but it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a situation around a year ago and it was, I kind of surprised myself. I mean, I know that I was just being tested by the universe because I was like, yeah, I've got strong boundaries. Mm-hmm. I've done all this work on myself. I'm sexually empowered. Like I know exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I went into a situation like knowing that I didn't want to sleep with this guy, but it was like, oh, this guy was so hot. I was like, why don't I want to sleep with this guy? And then I was like, oh, it's like, you know, he's met me quite a few times now and I still haven't slept with him and I feel bad. Like, honestly, this is exactly what I did. And this is after I'd done quite a lot of work on myself. I ended up going back to this person's, like, what, okay, what was the interesting thing was, because of the, even though I overstepped my own boundaries, because of the work that I had done, my body reacted instantly. Like, as soon as I was going to go back to his and knew that, it was like my shoulders like started to rise, like my whole body just clenched and I noticed it. Like, instantly I noticed it. So, but what was interesting is that I still, regardless of that, went back to sleep with this person. And yeah, it was really, I mean, that person had their own, had their own traumas with women. And I really felt that whilst we were having sex. I felt like when he was having sex with me, I felt like he was angry. Like he was pouring this anger into me, not me personally, but it was like this anger towards women. And I won't go into his story because it's not my place to speak about him. But, you know, I understand it. Why? But yeah, and it completely closed me off from wanting to be with anyone, I would say, for pretty much most of a year. But yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
I think this is really powerful. Thank you for sharing that. I feel like a lot of women feel that way. You know, it also happened recently to me that I broke a months-long celibacy. And even though I was really excited to be intimate again, there were also instances where I wasn't sure how to ask for certain things so that I wouldn't offend the other person, right? And hurt their egos. And I think these are such like normal things that we go through. And the learning process of, stepping over our own boundaries and what that activates of like the shame, the guilt, that is, okay, connecting us to these vulnerable, tender, old parts so that they can be deeper integrated and healed and loved. And so I always get excited in a way hearing about these experiences, even though they're painful. I can help it, Scorpio thing. But no, this is powerful. And this is the key element where, are we able to hold ourselves through that? Or do we feel like we have now, you know, sinned? This is where that tip happens.
You know, in every experience, or we're talking about sexuality, so we'll stick with this, but with every sexual experience, it's like if you don't feel great afterwards and you do feel like, oh, like perhaps, you know, that didn't feel good and this didn't feel good, it's like, don't just like sweep it under the carpet and just be like, oh, whatever, it's fine. It's just, it's like, go more into that, like really sit with that. Okay, like, why don't I feel good now? What happened? And then learn from it and don't like shame yourself for it. You know, it's like, it's just acknowledging, you know, and like away from sexuality as well, just acknowledging like every experience you have in life. And even if it feels uncomfortable, and seeing the lesson in it. And like, to go back to that experience just briefly, I understand why, because it was like, I was like, yeah, I've got strong boundaries. I know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. It was like the universe just giving me a little nudge, like, okay, yes, your body feels it and your body's telling you no, but are you actually listening to your body? And it's just like, no, 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 no. Your mind is still controlling. Your mind is still the more dominant one. So it was just like, and I see that now. I mean, it took me a year to be able to understand that situation, but
like another opportunity to actually be in our truth and in our power. And when something doesn't go exactly as we think in the perfect script should go, can we not make it wrong? Can we just take it as beautiful? That does not mean anything less about me. This is just a part of this path and a part of this evolution.
Yes.
And it's interesting when you were saying about, you know, feeling that anger, because this is why they call it sacred sexuality, because yes, it is a sacred exchange of energies, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And at the same time, that can, again, I see, lead to a lot of shame.
Yes.
Because some people just want to have sex.
Yes.
You know? And I can see in your eighth house where there's actually Taurus that likes to take things slow when it comes to sexuality with others. Mm-hmm. That wants to feel cherished and adored, like, ravished. And it wants to have like a solid ground of safety, stability, knowing that you get to open up slowly, and through that deep connection to the senses and the body in Taurus,
yes,
learn about this intimacy, because there's also Jupiter here, which wants to expand through the sensuality and the embodiment, through that intimate meeting of bodies that create some kind of an artwork through love making. You know, it's really an artwork with this position here. One that is teaching you about the higher knowledge, where you're not learning it from the books, you're learning it through the experience. But it needs to have the right container, it needs to have the right ground, foundation with Taurus. So I see how this is important, even though that Mars in Aries sometimes wants to be, that's like your sex drive, that's like high through the roofs and let's go. And like when you feel chosen, when you feel like you have the ground, you can go so far and deep and in all directions, you know, and like the pleasure potential is just infinite. But it needs to have the ground. Then and that's the priority then.
It is the priority for me to be able to go deep, especially during sex. I feel like, but I think this is the same for a lot of women. Like, you know, if our hearts aren't open, then, and there needs to be that safety there for our hearts to open as women. And if our hearts aren't open, then it does completely limit our pleasure, especially during, you know, during sex, during lovemaking. Yeah, for me, intimacy is the most important thing. Like, not even, you know, take away actual penetrative sex. Like, yeah, what does it for me more? What brings me even, okay, great, yeah, an orgasm, of course. Yeah, it's amazing. It's the most pleasure. But I don't know, for me, I get more excited by just like the soft, slow touching and the cuddling and just like
Taurus eighth house.
Taurus eighth house. And just like, you know, just like the fingers on the back of the neck or the little kiss or like, you know, like the pat on the head or just like, for me, that is just like, oh, like that literally just like gives me butterflies in my stomach. So, and I mean, I don't think I'm unique with that. I think a lot of women feel the same.
For sure, for sure. And, you know, the ruler of your chart, Venus, is also ruling this Taurus. So I can see how that intimacy is like at the core of your desires of how you want to experience life. And I'm going to say this is very much of a feminine side. Absolutely. And at the same time, you know, like I personally have Gemini in my eighth house, meaning that for me, merging with other sexuality, it's not going to be first and foremost cuddles. For me, it comes more of like that curiosity, playfulness, exploring different mental scenarios, going into the fantasies, you know, like playing of something. It has to be exciting. And I'm sure like your Venus is also in Sagittarius. So that's an important part of your journey too. Like, why are we doing this? You know, like the meaning of it. Why do I want to be touched here? But they're like, this is the story of pleasure. It's all encompassing. All of the archetypes of zodiac signs are present in us and they want to be adored and loved equally. And they're like the entry points where that opening happens, where that trust gets built, where the intimacy really starts flourishing and then expanding into more. And this is what pleasure astrology kind of points forward. What is that essential from where we get to expand? What is that core driving energy? But just one more thing that I wanted to say about what we opened up before about sacred sexuality and really exchanging energetics.
Yes.
The feminine nature is in receiving the energy, and in masculine that is in penetrating, right? And when we're choosing sexual partners, we are going to be taking a part of their energy in. Right?
Yes.
That's why choosing sexual partners, they say, is so important.
Yes.
But I noticed that, are you okay with taking that energy in? And this is where I feel like love becomes an important indicator. Because if we're taking that energy in, if we're just letting it get stalled and stuck within our bodies, that's where it becomes problematic.
Yes.
But it's actually a part of the feminine alchemy is taking this energy up into the heart space that is transmutation place of that, right? This is why they also say the feminine is actually first penetrated in the heart.
Yes.
So that she can open the channels for this flow to be. So it's again of like, you get to have casual sex and cleanse your energy. Do a yoni stim, set energetic boundaries. Yes. You get to explore and have casual sex if this is what feels right. And also, what is the heart saying? Is the heart opened for that transmutation? Does your, like, this is where the attunement to the body, does the yoni want to accept this energy? Because you have the power to transmute anything when you know how to.
Yeah.
But are you there? Do you want to?
Exactly.
Are you, like you said, like, is your body open and understanding, you know, through your own, through getting to know your own body and what your own body likes, and especially like in regards to pleasure. I don't personally think that you can, that you should as a woman just go and sleep with anyone, because you can alchemize the energy or bring the energy up into the heart. I think like, it's, you just listen to your body. Like, if your body is telling you a no, like, for instance, if you're dry, or, you know, if you're dry down there, or if your body is like contracted, or you feel tight, like everywhere, then that's like a sign that you're just not, you're not open to receiving the person, and like, listen to that.
Can I add something?
Yeah.
It's so interesting that you say that, because I said my eighth house is Gemini, right? Yeah. And so I'm already, I have five planets in Libra. So my mind can be sharp.
Okay.
And I notice how, even though, yes, I'm in the embodiment and sacred sexuality, I can still see how my mind can trick my body. Like, I can create the fantasies of my own, even if I'm not fully into ready and into the person or whatever, like I'm not fully open, but I know how to like through the mind kind of ignite my body to be there. So it's not going at the pace of my body, it is actually kind of in the excitement, speeding up the process, because we get excited and that's okay, and la 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 la, and it has a beautiful space there too, but not maybe when it's premature, when I know and I feel that I'm pushing it, that I'm playing tricks on myself, and I'm still going through it. It's okay. No shame, no guilt. And I'm aware of it.
Yes.
And I don't think it's in my integrity to continue pushing it that way. So I can get wet easily.
Yes.
But
yeah, but you,
am I actually honoring myself through that?
Yeah.
But then it's like, if you're getting wet and you're getting turned on because of a fantasy in your mind, then it's like you're not actually being present with the current reality, with the person in front of you. I mean, it could be anyone. It could be anything.
I don't know.
Could be anything.
Yes, and in pleasure astrology, we're actually going to look at your Mercury to see what kind of a role the mind plays in your pleasure. And it's interesting because your Mercury is in the fifth house.
I also
So,
go into fantasies
yeah,
sometimes.
exactly. Especially with yourself, like,
Yeah.
especially with that self-pleasure aspect that can be a beautiful, again, entry point. The mind needs to
Oh,
be
yeah.
incorporated. The mind is the part of the body. But is it playing tricks? Is it the one that's operating the show? Is it the one that's holding the energy rather than making the way for the body to experience more of that pleasure? Because the pleasure can actually only be experienced through the body. Whatever is
Yes.
in the mind, what kind of pleasure is that?
Yes.
It is a kind of pleasure, but it's not going to give you full body orgasms.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because it's like, for instance, like with self-pleasure, with a self-pleasure practice, and one of the things that I always tell my clients is like, if you start thinking about, if you go into a self-pleasure practice and you've got the orgasm as the goal, you've already kind of lost the point of it, and you've already come out of the body, because all you're thinking about thinking, so you're just in the mind, you're just like, right, okay, I need to have an orgasm, I need to have an orgasm. And you know, the funny thing is like, actually, you can't have an orgasm if you're in your mind anyway. You have to be surrendered, and yet there has to be this element of just like relaxing and allowing the orgasm to happen. So you have to be in the body. But one thing that I wanted to touch on with the self-pleasure thing, like, if there, you know, if there is someone that I'm really attracted to, and when I'm self-pleasuring, they come into my mind, and then I want to play with that a little bit, and then I want to kind of imagine that they're like going down on me, or like imagine that they are fucking me, or they are, like, just depending what I'm doing, but they are like spanking me, or I think that's fine.
And this is why I love the art of astrology, because
Yes.
it just really normalizes so much. And if you're the kind of a person that is naturally more inclined to go, like to engage the mind
Yes.
into display, it's beautiful. It's also not saying, oh, the mind has to go out. This is where, through pleasure astrology, I really want people to understand that you get to have your own unique approach to this. You don't have to follow any kind of formula, even though it's beautiful. What worked for you, for the ideal clients that work with you, it's going to be perfect, right? It gives them also some kind of a playground to play with and then readjust, right?
Yeah.
And with pleasure astrology, I really want to bring that understanding of, like, okay, where do we start? Opening up when there's a lot of shame, repression, conditioning, when there's like body image issues, we can look at, okay, where are the tender, vulnerable parts? How can we approach them in the most authentic way to you personally? Like, there are so many other points that I could speak on from your
Okay.
chart that I see and expand on it in a safe environment and then create practices around that and the embodiment around that.
Okay.
Because some people need to start with a fantasy,
Yes.
right?
So something that else that I wanted to touch on with the self-pleasure.
Yeah.
So I know I was saying, like, okay, if there's someone that I'm really attracted to, I'm thinking about a lover, like someone that I'm dating at that time, that's fine. But at the point where, to go back to orgasm, right? Let's talk about orgasms. So the point where you do start to, you feel like, okay, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Like, at that point, it's like, okay, then drop the fantasy, like drop the mind, and don't rush it. Like, we have a tendency at that point, it's like, oh my God, it's coming, let's fucking go. And it's like, no, at that point, that's when you want to, okay, right, mind gone, completely like come into the body, like really slow everything down, deep breathing, and really feel it. Like, feel what's actually going on inside of your body at that moment, like feeling that fire and feeling that energy, like just starting to build, because you feel it, and it's like, whoa. And if you rush it at that moment, it's just going to be here. You're not going to feel it throughout your whole body. So it's like slowing it down,
and like breathing it up towards your heart, breathing it out, exhaling, moving it around your whole body. But yeah, the point is just to be really, really slow and just allow it to, yeah, like preserve it, like savor it, like allow your whole body just to like marinate in it, allow your whole body just to taste it rather than it just being like a little.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, this is where I could see your Mars in Aries trying to rush, perhaps in the past.
And
this is why you needed to cultivate this patience, because actually your Taurus in eighth house wants spaciousness and pacing and edging and slow. But, you know, like this is where I could, like, where your Mars wants to rush. When you notice that impatience, you also get to connect to the other side of this Mars expression, which is in the desire, in the passion, in the primal, you know, and you get to flip the coin. And whenever that we feel like normally there would be contraction or there would kind of be a story coming up, we get to play with that energy. We get to play with the essence that it brings. Just flip it around so that it actually works for you and it builds up on this life-creating field. So to bring it all together, I wonder if there is anything else that is alive for you that wants to be shared. And next to that, I would love to know, how can people connect with you? What do you offer? What do you guide people through?
To feel is to heal. I think that's just like the main thing out of everything. And obviously, there's, you can go so much more deeper into that. But yeah, just like the more you can allow yourself to feel and experience all the different complexities of emotions, of life, of feelings, sensations, the more that you can welcome all of that into your body, the more pleasure, the better orgasms you're going to have, like just the more pleasure that you're going to receive from life. But you have to be willing to sit in the shit, and you have to be able to feel the shit and be sit in the dirt to be able to, to like really experience the amazingness of life. And it's all beautiful. Like, really see yourself and accept yourself. Like, see yourself, accept yourself, love yourself. None of us are perfect, you know, and none of us are perfect. Like, how can you bring more love to the parts of yourself, or more aliveness to the parts of yourself that you perhaps try to hide from others because you feel embarrassed or you don't want them to see it? You might think, oh, you know, this is seen as weakness, you know. And a lot of the work that I personally do through my coaching through women is through women feeling powerful, expressing their femininity and being in their femininity, you know. To be boldly in your feminine, it's not like, oh, I'm a little girl and I have rose petals in my bar. Like, that's great as well. I
love that.
That's great as well. But there's also other ways, you know, like we're talking about, you know, it's like during like a self-pleasure practice, it's like, you know, I want to get my flogger out and I want to like flog myself and I want to like, squeeze my nipples, bringing aliveness to all of it. Like,
and I think everything that you mentioned, it's not always easy to do it on your own, like to be with all of that which is coming, and to even see it, to show yourself, means to be, to have someone there to see you. And I think this is why it's so beautiful, the containers that you hold, the containers that even I create. You know, these spaces are so important for us to be able to truly feel and express ourselves. And I know it's been a crucial part of my journey to have this kind of spaces where I get to be on the receiving and the practicing end, and to be able to create that for others.
You know, for the feminine to fully open, there has to be this feeling of safety there. So there has to be this safe container. And you know, until we are able to provide that safety for ourselves, like sometimes it's good to have someone else there that can be that safe container for you, someone that you trust. Hopefully that's me.
As we are building
that inner foundation and that inner stability within ourselves, you know, often we seek in our partner, we seek in men, you know, they should be the safety, they should be the security, they should be the provider. But actually, what if we could provide that within ourselves? And that doesn't mean that, okay, we don't need a man because we've got our inner man, you know, it just means that, you know, when we are in a relationship, it's like, we're not creating this attachment to that person based on these needs that aren't being fulfilled within ourself.
Yeah.
Okay. And yes, so I wanted just to quickly say the course that I have created, so I've created a 4-week one-to-one sensual embodiment coaching program called the Goddess Method. And yeah, we basically go into everything that we've pretty much discussed today. Self-pleasure is a huge part of it. Boundaries, desires, learning about your own inner masculine, your own inner feminine, and all the different kind of flavors of each of those kind of things,
yeah.
We could say. But, you know, to simplify like all of it, it's guiding you towards sovereignty, which is your power. It's just bringing you back to your power as a woman and helping you harness that power and feel comfortable being in that power. So yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. And how can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram on the gram. My name is Alexandra Marie Wild.
Is that your true surname?
No. Don't tell anyone. No, it's not. But I just, yeah, I don't know. Wow. It fits. Yeah. It fits. You can find me on there. And if you're in Bali, I also teach at the space. I hold sensual embodiment workshops every month. I hold women's circles twice a month at the space as well. So if you are in Bali and you would like to come and meet me in person, then you can find me there.
Beautiful.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure. A sensual pleasure.
Pew pew. I hope this episode nurtured you well and inspired something in you. Feel free to share it, love it, kiss it, spread it, and do not hesitate to get in touch if you want to dive deeper into your own pleasure astrology journey. One of the special portals within Cosmic Explorations is Cosmic Pleasure Activation, which is a twofold journey, meaning meeting up for two sessions. One goes into understanding your personal pleasure story through pleasure astrology and human design, so looking into your natal charts and human design body graphs to explore the stories that are present for you around pleasure, sexuality. What are the ways that you can access your expanded pleasure potential in the most authentic ways? What might be in the way, creating blocks and unconscious fears that are not allowing you to fully lean in, surrender, and receive this unlock, this pleasure potential that lies inside of you? So it's more of like inviting the mind to open up to new possibilities. And then the second part of the journey is much more experiential, energetic pleasure expansion, where we go into Akashic Records hypnosis and Kundalini activation through Reiki. So it's an energetic session where we also look into customized pleasure practices based on your design. Epic! And if you want to dive a real
fucking deep, then cosmic coaching might be the right for you. It's a 3 or 6 months journey into your inner galaxies, you know, really intimately meeting yourself, your cosmic team, strengthening your connection to your intuition, your spirit guides, and really opening up to new aspects of yourself in a safe environment where we get to meet parts of ourselves that perhaps, you know, we can sometimes be afraid of, or we don't know how to play with those aspects. And here we really get to claim the full spectrum of our being. Okay, Feva Cristina on Instagram, that's where you find me, or cosmicexplorations.com. I'm looking forward to bouncing with ya.